The prayer of Manasseh, king of Judah, when he was held captive in Babylon. Chapter 1. O Lord Almighty, that are in heaven, you God of our fathers, of Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and of their righteous seed, who have made heaven and earth, with all the ornament thereof, who have bound the sea by the word of your commandment, who have shut up the deep, and sealed it by your terrible and glorious name, whom all things fear, yes, tremble before your power, for the majesty of your glory can't be borne, and the anger of your threatening towards sinners is importable, your merciful promise is unmeasurable and unsearchable, for you are the Lord Most High, of great compassion, patient and abundant in mercy, and repent of bringing evils upon men. You, O Lord, according to your great goodness have promised repentance and forgiveness to those who have sinned against you, and of your infinite mercies have appointed repentance to sinners, that they may be saved. You therefore, O Lord, that are the God of the just, have not appointed repentance to the just, to Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, which have not sinned against you, but you have appointed repentance to me that am a sinner, for I have sinned above the number of the sands of the sea. My transgressions are multiplied, O Lord, my transgressions are multiplied, and I am not worthy to behold and see the height of heaven for the multitude of my iniquities. I am bowed down with many iron bands, that I can't lift up my head by reason of my sins, neither have I any respite, for I have provoked your wrath, and done that which is evil before you. I didn't do your will, neither did I keep your commandments. I have set up abominations, and have multiplied detestable things. Now therefore I bow the knee of my heart, beseeching you of grace. I have sinned, O Lord, I have sinned, and I acknowledge my iniquities, but, I humbly beseech you, forgive me, O Lord, forgive me, and destroy me not with my iniquities. Be not angry with me forever, by reserving evil for me, neither condemn me into the lower parts of the earth. For you, O Lord, are the God of those who repent, and in me you will show all your goodness, for you will save me, that am unworthy, according to your great mercy. And I will praise you forever all the days of my life, for all the army of heaven sings your praise, and yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. This psalm is a genuine one of David, though extra, composed when he fought in single combat with Goliath. I was small amongst my brothers, and youngest in my father's house. I tended my father's sheep. My hands formed a musical instrument, and my fingers tuned a lute. Who shall tell my Lord? The Lord himself hears. He sent forth his angel and took me from my father's sheep, and he anointed me with his anointing oil. My brothers were handsome and tall, but the Lord didn't take pleasure in them. I went out to meet the Philistine, and he cursed me by his idols. But I drew his own sword and beheaded him, and removed reproach from the children of Israel. Now Philopater, on learning from those who came back that Antiochus had made himself master of the places which belonged to himself, sent orders to all his footmen and horsemen, took with him his sister Arsino, and marched out as far as the parts of Raphia, where Antiochus and his forces encamped. And one Theodotus, intending to carry out his design, took with him the bravest of the armed men who had been before committed to his trust by Ptolemy, and got through at night to the tent of Ptolemy, to kill him on his own responsibility, and so to end the war. But Dositheus, called the son of Drimulus, by birth a Jew, afterward a renegade from the laws and observances of his country, conveyed Ptolemy away, and made an obscure person lie down in his stead in the tent. It befell this man to receive the fate which was meant for the other. A fierce battle then took place, and the men of Antiochus prevailing, Arsino continually went up and down the ranks, and with dishevelled hair, with tears and entreaties, begged the soldiers to fight manfully for themselves, their children, and wives, and promised that if they proved conquerors, she would give them each 2 minas of gold. It thus fell out that their enemies were defeated in hand-to-hand encounter, and that many of them were taken prisoners. Having vanquished this attempt, the king then decided to proceed to the neighboring cities, and encourage them. By doing this, and by making donations to their temples, he inspired his subjects with confidence. The Jews sent some of their council and of their elders to him. The greetings, guest gifts, and congratulations of the past, bestowed by them, filled him with the greater eagerness to visit their city. Having arrived at Jerusalem, sacrificed, and offered thank offerings to the greatest God, and done whatever else was suitable to the sanctity of the place, and entered the inner court, he was so struck with the magnificence of the place, and so wondered at the orderly arrangements of the temple, that he considered entering the sanctuary itself. And when they told him that this was not permissible, none of the nation, no, nor even the priests in general, but only the supreme high priest of all, and he only once in a year, being allowed to go in, he would by no means give way. Then they read the law to him, but he persisted in obtruding himself, exclaiming, that he ought to be allowed, and saying, be it that they were deprived of this honor, I ought not to be. And he put the question, why, when he entered all the temples, none of the priests who were present forbade him. He was thoroughly answered by someone, that he did wrong to boast of this. Well, since I have done this, said he, be the cause what it may, shall I not enter with or without your consent? And when the priests fell down in their sacred vestments imploring the greatest God to come and help in time of need, and to avert the violence of the fierce aggressor, and when they filled the temple with lamentations and tears, then those who had been left behind in the city were scared, and rushed forth, uncertain of the event. Virgins, who had been shut up within their chambers, came out with their mothers, scattering dust and ashes on their heads, and filling the streets with outcries. Women, but recently separated off, left their bridal chambers, left the reserve that befitted them, and ran about the city in a disorderly manner. Newborn babes were deserted by the mothers or nurses who waited upon them, some here, some there, in houses, or in fields. These now, with an ardor which could not be checked, swarmed into the Most High Temple. Various were the prayers offered up by those who assembled in this place, on account of the unholy attempt of the king. Along with these there were some of the citizens who took courage, and would not submit to his obstinacy, and his intention of carrying out his purpose. Calling out to arms, and to die bravely in defense of the law of their fathers, they created a great uproar in the place, and were with difficulty brought back by the aged and the elders to the station of prayer which they had occupied before. During this time the multitude kept on praying. The elders who surrounded the king tried in many ways to divert his arrogant mind from the design which he had formed. He, in his hardened mood, insensible to all persuasion, was going onward with the view of carrying out this design. Yet even his own officers, when they saw this, joined the Jews in an appeal to him who has all power, to aid in the present crisis, and not wink at such overweening lawlessness. Such was the frequency and the vehemence of the cry of the assembled crowd, that an indescribable noise ensued. Not the men only, but the very walls and floor seemed to sound forth, all things preferring dissolution rather than to see the place defiled.